Halloween is less than 6 months away, but the spirit of the holiday lives year-long in graphic designer Kayla Eck. She helped create the first-ever Nightmare Marketplace last October and will bring the Nightmare on J to life once again this Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. Kayla talked about embracing the odd and the different in her own art as a young person and then becoming a curator for others who embraced their own passion. Her energy, with help from several friends in the Schenectady business community, helped make this a reality. Kayla stopped by the Daily Gazette podcast studio to talk about her second coming of the event, this time in May. Mother Nature had other plans for the original date, forcing the postponement to this Saturday, May 24th. Even for the faint at heart, Kayla Eck is a light and bright soul, and she talked about her passion along with the other talent that will be seen this Saturday on J Street, as well as finding out when she kicks off Halloween at her own home with the help of her husband, who helped her create a custom-made coffin. Please enjoy my conversation as Kayla Eck, as she tells me her story. So Kayla Eck, welcome to the Gazette and the Tell Me Your Story podcast. So the reason you're here is our mutual friend, Heather Lent from Bittersweet Chocolate, friend of the podcast, as I always like to say. Anybody who knows of the podcast is friend of the podcast. She was adamant that I have to get with you to talk about Nightmare on J. So we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
But tell me about Kayla Eck.
I feel like everybody hates talking about themselves, but where do I start? I've been a surreal artist since I can remember, with my first art show at 13 years old. And I've always been kind of drawn to like the surreal and the odd and kind of darker art. And when you're a kid, I think people are very questionable. Like, why is this kid drawing this stuff covered in like blood drips and stuff like that? But it was nothing in my head that was malicious or weird or dark. It was just, this is really cool and interesting to me. So I grew up with the mentality that odd things are cool. Skulls are cool. I love metal and rock and roll music and stuff like that. And when you're a kid going to adulthood and these are the things you love, there isn't too many outlets for things like that. You have to really go digging for them or to find them or find the crowd of people that like those things. So jump into adulthood. I get into art gallery settings and stuff like that, and I quickly jump into curating. And I'm just noticing that there just isn't that many art outlets out there that focus on people who like those things. And to me, good art makes you a little bit uncomfortable. Good art is supposed to like evoke an emotion in you or make you think about the strange or things that you're curious about or don't understand. So I started doing gallery shows at like my local art studios that like teach people how to paint, like paint and sip nights sort of thing, focusing on local artists. And I was purposely curating artists that were like doing something different or made you think curiously or wanted to get into a different medium. And I really felt like I was the only one doing it. That was in Connecticut. I'm from Connecticut. When I came up here, I've heard great things about the Capital Region. I got a job offer for Phone Brain Games, and my husband had a job offer for a company he worked for at the time. And I wanted to start those art shows here and actually in Troy, but the pandemic happened. We literally moved here January 1st of 2020. So I was only in the office at Phone Brain for 2 weeks before they were like, can you work from home? So I, you know, did a hold on the events, you know, social distancing, you can't have events. And around 2023 is when, like, I started noticing art was coming back around, people are going to shows again. And I started developing this idea and, you know, where am I going to go? Like, Troy, I love Troy, nothing against Troy, but I knew that wasn't, like, my permanent home. So my husband and I, we started looking for houses to buy. And the way that I think of a community is, if you want to know anything about the community's heart, you go to their farmer's market or you go to whatever is going on a Sunday, Saturday that everybody goes to or tells you about, you should go there. We went down to the Green Market and I had an amazing time. And it was the first interaction. Like, we went to a bunch of towns in the Capital Region and went to their farmer's markets to check out the area. When I told people on J Street that I, you know, I'm thinking about buying a house here, everybody was like, do it. Like, this great community, great small businesses. You're not going to regret it. And you know, when you tell people in other areas, hey, I'm thinking of buying a house here, they don't necessarily do that. Some people go, don't do that. And that's a little scary. And actually, one of my first interactions that day was with Amanda from Bear and Bird. And she was just so positive and so opening to meeting me and my husband and talking about my art. And I was like, yeah, this is the community I want to be part of. We bought a home. And that's just when, like, the idea started happening. I started sketching a logo, which I should have brought it, but I have a crazy book page with just a bunch of different perspectives of a skeleton and his head and a candle and stuff like that. And then when I finally had, like, the concept down, I went to Amanda and Judy from the Silver Shop, and I just said, hey, I have this idea. What do you guys think? Because my first intuition was, like, I need the blessing of the local businesses before, you know, you really solidify anything. And they were all for it. And I said, well, this is great. Like, I have these people who are more than eager to get new things downtown. And they pointed me to Amy Saunders, who used to work for the DSIC. I met with her. And honestly, I credit Amy to giving me, like, all the correct information, who to call, who to talk to, what to say, and how I should approach it. And I somehow, through all the emailing I did, got a meeting with the mayor's office, which in my head, a meeting with the mayor's office is like one person from the mayor's office. I did not expect the mayor to be there. So I was a girl with a black binder with a skull on it, sitting down with the mayor and every department head of the city. And I was like, I don't know if this is going to go the way I think it's going to go. But they were so eager to hear about it. And that was like, I literally left there kind of teary-eyed because I was like, they liked it. They weren't off-put by it. They were excited about it. And there was actually a really funny moment with the mayor where I was assuring him, like, this is a spooky theme and, you know, we're into, like, the goth and the dark and stuff like that, but there's not going to be, like, scare actors chasing anybody. And he goes, there's not. Aw. Like, he was like, you should have people scaring people. And I was like, well, maybe in future years. This is the first one. But all the department heads were just eager to help. And I've been curating galleries in different states, and I just feel like this was the first time where everybody was willing to open the door for me and see if I needed anything from that room, so to speak. And yeah, it's just kind of been a run to the top of the hill since then. Yeah.
You're a young artist. You're just putting thoughts, different thoughts, down on pages and paint and canvas and stuff like that. Do you ever think, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be a major player in a early summer event in a major city and an organizer and an executive director? I mean, did you ever, like, think of that? Or, I mean, looking at your bio, you didn't go to school for art. You're self-made.
Oh, thank you so much.
You know?
That is such a compliment.
And,
thank you.
And then you're like, I'm taking my art to this next level. And then you're like, oh, yeah, now I'm an executive director and doing all. Did you ever imagine it?
You know, I don't think I did. And I've actually talked recently about this with people that, you know, I had majority of my younger years as, like, I'm the artist girl. I make these weird paintings, these big giant murals that are odd. And the past 2 years since the market started, I haven't painted that much. And I have this weird feeling of, like, feeling a missing out sort of thing, where I'm like, I should be painting. Like, that's been part of my identity for a long time. And I've accepted, like, wait a second. No, it's okay for my brain to change what makes it happy. And, like, I'm enjoying this. I've been curating galleries for a long time, but nothing like this. This is, like, everything I love, all my hobbies, all my interests, they're in this market. And I'm trying to – it's not just me that likes these things. They're, you know, every vendor has their own niche and special topic or things that they do. But I'm just trying to get people to celebrate that. Like, that's what I feel was missing from these galleries that were, you know, we're having an alternative art show, but people from the alternative community are the only ones showing up. How are we opening, like, other doors for these people in this community to, you know, branch out, meet people, meet business connections? I never really saw myself being, like, the girl that's doing that thing, but I'm happy to do it and I'm having a lot of fun. I never saw it getting at, well, I shouldn't say this big because I feel like we're growing to be bigger, to be honest. But yeah, it's kind of just like a dream come true. Every day feels like I'm on a cloud and I'm just floating. Yeah, it's great.
For anyone who's not familiar, you know, speaking with Kayla Eck, the creator of Nightmare on Jay, what was the pitch? What's the elevator pitch when you're talking to people? What was the pitch to the mayor's office of what? Because this is only the second one. This is not like the 10th annual. You know, this is not. This is not an annual. It's not the holiday parade that's been around for 56 years and things like that. This is still so new, but it's so big. What was the pitch?
I think the pitch for the mayor's office, at least, and I still stand by this. This is how I explain the market to people that are like, what is this? It's a celebration of the alternative community for the whole community. So if you're curious about someone that's a pagan, if you're, you know, you want to see what taxidermy art looks like, if you want to learn a little bit more about maybe a local artist who does stuff made out of very interesting materials, keep it PG on the podcast, this would be the perfect environment for you to, in a very positive space, ask them questions. And, you know, as long as it's done with kindness, there's no wrong question. So my pitch to the mayor's office was more circled around like, hey, you have this really condensed community here of small businesses that are all in a certain specialty. They're all doing their own thing and your community wants to know more about them. And there's really not an outlet or a consistent outlet in Schenectady that focuses on those people. So I was really focused on letting the mayor's office know, like, you have a large demographic here that we should be shining a light on. That was kind of my pitch to them.
And it's different because it is an evening. The Green Market, yes. We celebrate every Sunday morning. You know, there's those few weekends, holidays and things like that where we're inside or outside doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But so much is daytime. So much of it is Sunday. And then you've got a Sunday night in May. It kind of kicks off.
It's a Saturday
night. Saturday night. Sorry. Thank you.
No, that's okay.
Saturday night on Jay Street, which, in all honesty, you can kind of fire a cannon up the street and not hit anybody on Saturday night on a lot of nights in Jay. So it's, in a sense, going dark as the sun goes down, but you're bringing light to Jay Street on a Saturday night. So is that automatically like, I'm not doing this during the day. I want this to be a night event.
Well, part of, and one of the reasons I love Jay Street so much, how I was talking about, I went to the farmer's market before we bought my home. We walked around Schenectady right before we closed on our house. Like at night, we went to, you know, some of the local restaurants, and I noticed the lighting they have on Jay Street. And I noticed that everybody was closed, and I was like, we have this fantastic lighting. And it almost looked like, have you ever seen Spirited Away, the Studio Ghibli movie?
I know of it. I know.
A scene where the main character is kind of going through this little town and it's at night and all these ghosts are appearing and there's these string lights going from building to building. And I literally felt like I was walking through that movie. So part of it, when I started thinking about the market, the theme, it has to be at night. I feel like it just fits what we're trying to do. But two, J Street deserves that kind of attention all day long. Like these businesses, the atmosphere, the heart of the city, like we should be doing things more at night. Yeah. And I also feel like any city area, there's like a stigma that, oh, it's dangerous at night. Why does it have to be dangerous at night? Like we can have fun and be in a good environment anywhere at night as long as it's, you know, the people are good. So
how nervous were you heading into last year's first ever, not even annual, can't say first annual, first ever Nightmare on Jay versus the wedding day? They're one and two, but which one got top billing?
So I think for October, because we had I had my meeting with the mayor's office a year before the last October. So I feel like we had everything to a T planned. I was very confident going in. Did I expect a crowd like that to show up? Not at all. It actually, when we projected, it doubled. It was way more than I thought was going to show up. And I think I was like riding the adrenaline that night. So I wasn't nervous because I was just so happy that it was going well and there were so many smiling people and that made it great. With May coming up, I wouldn't say I'm nervous. But I do think there's like an anticipation because anybody who didn't go to the October one is like, oh my gosh, I have to go to this one. And I guess I set the bar high for myself. So I'm just making sure that, you know, I'm elevating the market and there's new things to look forward to and stuff like that.
Is this adult? Is this kids?
Yeah. So I always tell people that this is an adult-centered event, but it's family-friendly. So you can bring your kids. Sure. Will there be a vendor or two that maybe you don't want your kids stepping in there too long? But you have full control to tell your kid, you know, let's skip this booth. But there's nothing out in the open or something that wouldn't be, like, clearly labeled that you wouldn't know is happening. You wouldn't walk into a place or see something that your kid might run into that they don't want to see or something like that. So adult-centered but family-friendly. I'm also a millennial. Most of my friends are starting families. And when I went into the planning of this event, I was like, we have to do something where on a Saturday night you can bring your child. Not everybody can get childcare last minute or, you know, has even the funding for that. So I wanted to do something where you could bring your kids and have a good night out. Yeah.
The friend of the podcast, friend of ours, Heather Lent, yeah. Bittersweet Chocolate.
Friend of the market.
Friend of the market. Friend of everything.
Yeah.
Just one of the best businesses, obviously. My wife's a huge fan favorite of Bittersweet. She said, I don't know if she shared this with you, but this may be a first take for you. She said she did more business on Nightmare and Jay than she did on Summer Night.
Really? I knew she did very, very well.
She said she did better.
That's amazing.
On Nightmare than she did on Summer Night, which Summer Night takes up all of State Street, bands, everything like that. Mobbed.
That's amazing.
You know, streets are shut down as they should be and stuff like that. And that's why she was like, Stan, you got to get with Kayla. This is you didn't come last year? Oh, my God. I can't believe you missed it. And things like that. So what's that? What was the reception out of the first one?
I think, well, the business owners were incredibly thankful. And my first reaction was like, they don't have to thank me. I should be thanking them. They were so helpful. They got the word out. The J Street business sponsors, they kind of act as an in-kind sponsor. I promote, you provide something themed. They've been honestly a blessing in a way from day one, from when I sat down and said, hey, I have this kooky idea to, hey, this is the week before. Like, are you okay? Do you need anything from me? They've just been a wonderful group of people to work with. I know Heather did very good. The business owners actually gave me like a card and a gift card to Backstage, which was the nicest gesture. They did not have to do that, but they've just been such a wonderful group of people to work with. And in my eyes, I've heard from the vendors right off like that night, they were like, this is the best market we've done all year. And I just wanted everybody to have a good time first and foremost, but two, I wouldn't be doing my job if you weren't successful. You know what I mean? So it was the ultimate like affirmation, like you are doing this correctly. The format works. Everybody wins. It's not just the vendors or just the business owners. Everybody's doing well.
Roger. So last year we were in October.
Mm-hmm.
This year we go to May.
Yes.
So the move to May, is it the half? Are we doing the half? Like yeah. The Irish do the, you know, halfway to St. Patrick's Day celebration, Christmas in July, things. Mm-hmm. The move to May?
So it was mostly to do another date because it's Halloween for me all year round. So halfway to Halloween is kind of – usually I think it ends up like May 3rd or something like that. But I wanted it to be the third Saturday of the month. I did a lot of like digging into data about like when people go to events, and it's always the middle of the month. It's not the first. It's because, you know, bills are paid and stuff like that. So it had to be the third Saturday of the month. And May, I think it's just the weather's a little better. People are eager to get outside because, you know, we're all defrosting from the winter. And then we're still having the October celebration. The only difference between the May date and the October date is there's going to be extra super spooky things on the October date. Yeah. So I can't say what they are yet, but yeah.
Ramp taking up a notch.
Yeah. So the Halloween one, even though it's not on Halloween, it's October 18th, it's always going to be really diving into a Halloween theme. And May is going to have the same, you know, kind of Halloween themed things, but not at the same level. Yeah.
All right. So we say Halloween and mm-hmm. kid friendly.
Yes.
And just direction for adults, just to say,
yeah,
this is, you know, you skip this one, skip that one. And it happens. It's, you know, it is what it is per se. Are we seeing kids in costume? Are we like doing candy? What do we?
Please come in costume. I love costumes, and I'm almost upset that I have to wear a staff hoodie because if I could, I would. Maybe I'll come with a funky hat or something, but costumes are highly encouraged. We have photographers who are working the event, and they've been kind of directed. If you see costumes, please take photos of them. And all costumes are game. So if it's a Halloween costume, if you're into steampunk or cosplay, or you just have a wicked outfit that you think would fit the event, I highly encourage it. There's not a better moment to dress up, in my opinion.
So where's your career right now? Is it the three hats? Is it Nightmare? Is it the gaming? Is it the art? I mean, where are you at on, you know, on the, I have to do this, the dark time of the day where you got to pay the bills? Where's your focus? You know, where are you working right now?
So my full-time, quote-unquote, gig, I'm still an art director for Foam Brain Games. The market is growing really quickly, and I tell people, like, in 5 years' time, if this ends up being successful enough and it has the momentum for me to full-on work for myself, of course I will. Like, everybody would love to work for themselves. But right now, I'm still at Foam Brain. I love Foam Brain. They've been so good to me, and I'm really, like, my heart is in all their branding. So if you see any of their branding, any packaging, I've touched part of it. And if I ever have to leave Foam Brain, it'd be a very sad day for me. So that's where I am right now. I'm hoping that the market grows to be its own entity and it engulf my whole life, to be honest. I hope. Yeah.
What's the house like? Because there are people in my life, family,
mm-hmm.
one legally bound by marriage, and then basically the best rest of the family. The dark day is taking down Christmas. My goddaughter will put it up the day after Thanksgiving. We try to push her to November 1, you know, mm-hmm. December 1. But it's, I mean, November 1, she's pretty much out there with it. So are you?
So my house is, it was built in 1908. And we bought a fixer-upper. So there's a lot of little projects that are being done all the time. But luckily, my husband is all for my shenanigans, so to speak. I just painted our kitchen black. So yeah, it used to be, when we bought the house, it was a maroon red, and they kept all the decor there when we moved in, and it was all rooster decor. So it's totally different now. It's all black with lots of plants. And I'm working on the backsplash, but, it's Halloween all year round to most people, but I don't take out like my big, very obviously Halloween decorations until August, which is way too early for most people. The rule of thumb, my husband's birthday is August 12th. So after his birthday, I am free to take out the bats and the skeletons and the pumpkin and all of that. It was funny. Last year, my husband owns a tree service company. He's one of our in-kind sponsors for the market. And I had him build a coffin for me for the market.
Honey? Yeah. Honey, you know what? If you're not busy.
Yeah, literally. And I knew he was going to be like, you want me to build a coffin for people to sit in. I found on Etsy a blueprint on how to build a coffin. And I literally presented it to him like, so what are you doing Saturday? Because we have to build a coffin. When we were doing it, we didn't have the fence for our house installed yet. And we share backyards with our neighbors. And we were getting some looks. Like, you could tell they were like, oh, what are they doing? But once it started really taking form, they were all standing with, like, their hands on their hips from their patios, like, what on earth is going on? And the event was in October. I think we built that, like, the first week of July. So it didn't make sense to anyone. But, yeah, my house is very tastefully spooky. Okay. Yeah.
What in your art, and I've looked at some of it, you know, on your Instagram page and, mm-hmm. and things like that. So let's plug Kayla's Instagram. So how do we follow Kayla on Instagram?
You want to follow the Art Witch with an underscore in between art and witch and X at the end. That's my page for just my personal art and design and endeavors and stuff like that. You will see some stuff for the Nightmare Market, but I try to keep them separate so people know it's like she doesn't just do the market. She does paint. I do murals, graphic design, stuff like that.
Gotcha. Yeah. And then you have an Instagram for the market too, right?
Yes, the Nightmare Market, New York. And that's all exclusively the market, the vendors, what we have going on, new things going to happen and stuff like that.
Attraction, impetus, desire, inspiration in your art. Where does it come from? Where's it been manifesting of the last couple projects? Where's it been manifesting?
So I take inspiration from a lot of different things. But I think if I had to pinpoint one thing, it would probably be poetry or music. You know when they say sometimes people can, like, listen to a song and they have, like, a music video going on in their head? Sometimes I'll listen to music and I'll hear, like, one line of something and I get, like, an image or just something that makes sense to me or something symbolic. My husband laughs at me because I'm a documentary listener. I would much rather listen to a documentary than music. And he said, like, that's not right. Like, music is beautiful. But I'm a sappy person. I'll cry, like, if a song is really beautiful, well-composed, has really deep music, don't look at me. Like, I'm probably going to start crying. So music, to me, is very, very impressionable on me. So that's probably the deepest inspiration. And sometimes in my paintings, if you look really close at a few of them, I'll scribble the lyric line, like, in the background. But you have to, like, catch it very carefully. And in that form, I've actually had people like at art shows be like, is that from that song? And I'm like, ah, yes, you caught on. So that's been really cool too.
When you look at the October show, mm-hmm. was there a vendor that surprised you that had the most traffic or was the most interesting to you or had the most positive comments?
Well, honestly, I think all the vendors did incredibly well, and they were all so happy to be there, and the crowd said that all of them were amazing. I think the one that I noticed had a very large line was Lily Co. Fans. She does these wonderful fabric and acrylic fans that are very detailed, and I actually meant to grab one that night, and I forgot. I was like, ah, but she's going to be there, so I can grab it again. And then the one that I heard people most talking about, even my own family, was like, did you see that vendor? I'm like, yes, I booked him. his name's Maxim Ducardi, and he actually makes art from blood. Yeah. And that was – looking at his art far away, I don't think most people assumed that. It's when people went in to look at it and talk to him that they were like, oh, like I didn't realize that was what was happening here. And then some of I believe it was my dad and my brother who went over. And then I watched them because I was waiting. I wanted to, like, witness them realize what was going on. I watched them look at the artwork and then, like, talk to each other, then come to me and be like, Kayla, did you know he does that? I'm like, yes, I do. Yeah, but very interesting stuff. But that's also the world of, like, people being curious. Like, that's the discussion I want. Like, he's a lovely person. He's got a great manager. Those are, like, those bridges of strange and unusual that I want people to be like, it's okay. You know, like, let's talk about it. Let's have that discussion. Yeah, it's very interesting to me.
Could you do this anyplace else? I mean, this is Schenectady. It's been so welcoming. And you talk about the experience with the Green Market. Mm-hmm. I don't think it fits everywhere.
It doesn't, but it fits in Schenectady, which is, like, I feel like there's no other community that embraces the oddball or the misfit kid more than Schenectady does. And I really, truly feel like I've had this discussion with people. We have really interesting demographics where even the Daily Gazette is family owned, you know. We have a lot of small business owners. And even the bigger companies that are in this area started as a small business. The vendors at the market are all small businesses who potentially could open a storefront downtown. I feel like Schenectady is so open to this because they've all been there or can relate to this. They want new things. They want the younger crowds here. So honestly, I hate to say this, but I don't think it could happen in another city. I feel like the way that it's worked for Schenectady and the feedback that's happened, that's very special and that's a very rewarding, wonderful thing that Schenectady has, that they are all for the little guy, so to speak. And that's really cool to see.
your last gallery? Do you have a gallery coming up? Coming up? Because you've been in a couple of different places on J Street with some of your art, I think, from looking at your Instagram or partnering with people. And how much, I mean, how near and dear is that that, like, you were, like, at Baron Bird?
Yeah.
And now you're like, literally taking up J Street with Baron Bird.
Yeah.
So what's been, like, the memorable gallery you've done and part of that community, that J Street community?
Well, the show at Baron Bird kind of happened at the same time as the market. Like, it was very well planned, and all the artists in that show were actually vendors in the market. So it was kind of a double promotional thing where these artists and their families went to the art show, but they also enjoyed the market. But it's very, like, as a vendor, like, before I curated art shows and stuff like that, of course, I was the artist going to art markets. It's really cool to watch everything kind of build from the other end of things. And even curating galleries, that experience, I've always liked kind of pushing people to or spotlighting other artists. And I think that's just me being an artist. Like, if I think something's cool, I need everybody to, like, just look at this person and what they're doing, sort of thing. I don't have any art shows coming up, but that's because of my lack of making art. Yeah, I'm trying to I've been very lucky in the past few years selling a lot of work, but not painting quick enough to replace those pieces. So in my free time, I'm slowly, like, finishing pieces. And then I'm hoping in 2026, I'll have, like, a body of work I can submit to more galleries. The last kind of gallery thing I did in the last year, Baron Bird was one. I love that gallery. I love that store. Amanda's fantastic. And then I also had a digital graphic that I designed for Albany Center Gallery on an art path that they did. And I just did it out of fun. Like, it was just a sketch for my mind that I did on my iPad. I did not expect so many people to message me and be like, hey, I saw that digital mural you did. It looks really great. And I was like, that's cool that something just quick off the top of my head, people really, really enjoyed. So
are you at the point, and again, in our business and with our staff, it just seems like we're just writing down story ideas. Like, my note is just, it's growing. It's a to-do list, but it's hopeful stories and stories you want to do, we need to do, things like that. And I actually do, like, must, need, and want. Mm-hmm. Must means I'll get fired if I don't get these done. And then need is like, we really should do this. And want is those passion projects. Are you there with, like, things you want to – I mean, how hard is it for you to contain yourself when you hear that lyric and you're like, oh, yeah, that would look so great. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you got to, like, pocket it.
Yes. Thank God for iPhones, because I have a notes, like, a literal note where I'll put the date. And sometimes it doesn't make sense. Like, I'll be driving and I'll click with my – which is so bad. Nobody do this. I'll click the phone because I put it on a holder and I'll be, like, voice recorded. I'll be like – I'll sing the lyric to my phone and it does not come out how it's supposed to. But my brain knows what I was trying to do. So I have, like, a never-ending list of art I want to make and ideas. And I do think my desire to finish certain things changes. And I've been way more accepting about that. A few years ago, I would start a painting and I would force myself, no matter how much I didn't want to do it, to finish that painting. Now, I'm more relaxed about it. And I think it's because I don't have as much time to paint. So when I do want to paint, I'm like, I'm going to paint what I want to today. Not, like, finishing something. I'm not focused on that aspect of it. I just want to create something. So right now in my studio, I have, I think, 4 paintings that are, like, in the middle of something. And next time I'm in my studio, I'll just be like, okay, which one is getting my attention today?
You know how disruptive that is right now to know that you have 4 projects going? And, like,
yeah,
we have a lot of things on the burner that we have to get to, but to have, like, but artists do that. Authors, you know, Stephen King. Yeah. Oh, I was working on this, and then I left that to do this. Oh, this character struck me, so I started this book, and I'm like, I don't have that capability to compartmentalize.
Oh, it's hard. I actually, because I did have that, you know, mentality when I really started focusing my art career. There's some times where I'll have to, like, turn a painting around or, like, put it away because it'll bother me that I'm not painting on it. Right now in my studio, I actually have a giant paper mache tooth that is not done, but there's a giant tooth sitting in the center of my studio. And every time I see it, I'm like, I'll get back to you. I don't know what I'm doing with it, but I'll get back to you.
Is it next to the coffin?
No.
Okay.
The coffin is actually at home, and it's in a shed. This way my neighbors aren't looking at it. But honestly, my husband did such a good job crafting it. It's really nice. Like, not that I'm a coffin expert, but it's a really well-made coffin. If it was up to me and he let me, I'd probably have it in the front yard all year round. I would just put flowers in it or something. But no, it's hidden from the neighbors behind a fence and in a shed so that no one's a little spooked.
And then it comes out.
Yeah, I actually just took it out 2 days ago because, you know, we're preparing for the market and it's returning to J Square. But it's funny because you can see the top of it right over our fence. So I'm like, the neighbors are probably like, oh, no, like it's back. What's going to happen now?
Saturday, May 17th,
mm-hmm.
5 to 9.
5 to 9, yes.
5 to 9.
Yep.
Schenectady's J Street Marketplace
mm-hmm.
becomes a nightmare in the best way possible.
Yes.
What else we got? What else we got to shout out about this?
There's a magic show at 6:30, a fire performance at 7:30. We have some really wonderful sponsors this year. Last year we got a grant from the state of New York, and this year we have sponsorship from ME Engineering and from the Schenectady Metroplex. So May has some really cool things that we haven't done in October. And then in this October, I can't say anything yet, but there's some really cool Tim Burton-esque, that's all I'm going to say, things coming to J Street that I think people will find very, very, very cool. Yeah. And then in 2026, the vendors have been asking about this, but we also have a bigger thing happening for the Nightmare Market early 2026 that will be announced in June. So that's something to
see. So this June?
Yes.
We would announce next May-ish?
We're in June. We're announcing something that's happening in January of 2026.
January 2026.
Yes. Okay. So it's kind of a fast timeline, but I want everybody to focus on the May market right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're holding that announcement. Some people know, but we're holding it until June.
So you got to stay tuned.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see. We'll see you at the Nightmare.
Yeah. I'm happy to have all of the office. Please join us. Say hi. You'll probably see me running around, but
that's okay. That's yeah, we're talking about it. It's on my calendar. It was important that we asked about the costume.
Yes.
Because we do have I do have a proposed plus one Halloween costume. Cool. That's a fan favorite. Awesome. So we will. If it's confirmed, we'll announce that next week on the Stan and Shen Show podcast.
Very cool.
And we may even preview the costuming of that individual near
Very
and dear
awesome.
To us. So thank you so much. And Ooh. I'm not even going to say good luck on May because I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
Because I have to be there because I've heard so much about it. Not because I'm going to be there doing the job, but because I just want to be there because it's been hyped up so much from our friend. And just looking at some of the stuff that I saw from last year, I'm like, this is like the greatest thing ever. And I've got a couple of friends that I've got to make sure that they're going to be there that I know that I saw just last week at the Comic-Con to go, are you coming down? Are you coming down? So I think it's going to be worthwhile. May 17th, 5 to 9, Nightmare on J. The May version.
Yeah, the May version.
The
yeah.
May version.
Mm-hmm.
And then enjoy that, and that will make you circle time and time again the October date.
Yes. Yeah, so we do have a little preview happening at the May market, without me saying too much, to kind of hint to people what's going on in October. But that's the biggest thing I could say about the Nightmare Market is we're not doing the same thing every time. Every market day we'll have something new, something different to look forward to. And all you have to do is bring yourself, support your local artists and vendors, and a costume is a plus. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This was great.